Welcome back to another episode of the External Anonymous Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive, the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And this week, we've got quite a bit of news, this time indirectly, not from Games Workshop. Bella Lost Souls has been able to leak much of the rules for the anticipated reboot of Assassins for Warhammer 40K. We actually had our first GT of the 2019 ITC season. So a couple things to go over and take a look at some of the lists from that particular event. And of course, we have a couple more events coming next weekend. So without any further ado, Ray, let's take a quick look at some of those new assassin rules as they appeared on Bella Lost Souls.
Let's do it.
So the first thing I got to say is maybe it's just because of a generational thing, but I've always hated the assassins. I always thought it was kind of overblown that they got their own codex, and this never felt like they worked right. But I have to say, this new mechanic is kind of cool, and I think it's a neat way of bringing them into the game.
So what's that?
So in the past, what they were doing was they kind of forced your way in by buying a Vanguard detachment. And they said, you get a free pass because there's no HQ unit, but it's going to cost you a command point. So it's like, oh, okay. So then you kind of committed to bringing which three of the four are you bringing, and hopefully you get the right matchup because, you know, the assassins are very specialized, which is probably one of the reasons why I don't like them so much. Because if you choose wrong, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I brought the rock to the paper fight. So, oh well. So right off the bat, they had the operative requisition sanctioned. So as long as your warlord has the Imperial keyword, which is a pretty wide-ranking keyword, so let's say you're talking guard, you're talking Space Marines, you're talking Adeptus Mechanicus, across the board, you deploy one command point, and you may add one officio assassinorum. I don't think that's even a word. But anyway, assassinorum unit of your choice to your army. So since it is match play, you do have to pay for the reinforcements. But long story short is all the assassins are the same number of points now. So if you want one assassin, set aside your 80-odd points and pay a command point, and you get to pick which assassin you want at game point, at the start of the game, just like you would choose a relic, which I thought was a really clever way to get around that.
And it looks like, according to this, it's got the special rule of the execution force for them as a whole, which is you can include this unit in your army as part of a Vanguard detachment, even if that detachment contains no HQ. However, if you do so, that detachment's command benefits are changed to none unless you have exactly one of each.
Which is also kind of neat. So kind of get all four in there, then you get a point. So you're probably thinking, wow, this sounds kind of getting, you know, between your specialist detachment from Vigilus and now these assassins, you're spending all your command points before the game starts. They added one more nifty little wrinkle here, and that is priority threat neutralized. So if you're assassin, you spend the command point right after one of your assassins kills an enemy character, and you get two command points back, or 3 points if that happens to be the character's warlord. So think about it. Can your assassin kill a character, at least one character in the game? If they do so, they've already made their command points back.
And you can use it once for each enemy character model slain.
So yeah, if you thought Headhunter was bad on the ITC secondaries, this just got a lot worse. Not only are you getting those extra secondary points, but you're cleaning up 2 or 3 command points every time you pop a character with assassin.
And I love that they actually have ones that affect just one of the assassins. So it looks like probably two for each assassin.
It seems that way. They don't. So it's very similar to Death Watch, where you had all the different individualized CP based on which Xenos foe you're fighting. This way, each individual assassin has kind of one or two of their own stratagems. They're quite neat. So the Vindicare, so this is the guy with the rifle, kind of the sniper-looking guy. For 1 CP, he can shoot again as long as he shoots at a different target. So if you're in a character-rich environment, such as, say, like the new Gene Stealer cults, You can pop two characters in the same phase and not only get, so think about it, you're actually going to be plus one. You're going to get four command points back. Actually, I don't know. Let me think that through. You can only do it once per phase, so but you can take up to two characters per turn if you needed to. Okay, not too bad. And then the famous Turbo Penetrator round. For those of you who don't remember, under the old rules, they had like a 4d6 armor penetration against vehicles. This time around, it's pretty much like the Demon Shell from the Chaos spec, and there's, I think, a Hellfire round, I think it's called, in the Imperial version. Don't make a wound roll. You just simply inflict d3 mortal wounds on the target. So I thought that was kind of neat. It specifically says this does not work in conjunction with the headshot ability. We'll get into that in a second, what that means. The Calidus assassin. I'll have to edit that out. The Calidus assassin is the one that's the slinky looking one. She has two nifty stratagems herself. One command point, you can make her allow to advance and charge in the same turn, and also makes her minus one to hit from all attacks. And which is kind of nifty, gets a little bit of survivability. And then for 2 points, you can do Supreme Deception. And the Reign of Confusion ability is considered to be in effect until the end of the battle round. So, and you can only use this once per battle. Now, I do remember the Reign of Confusion ability is quite nasty. It basically, out of 4+, adds 1 to your opponent's CP cost for a stratagem they may have played. The Calexis Assassin, this one's interesting kind of for 2 CP. He basically gets to mimic the same effect as the Vexador Mask. Any models within 3 inches cannot be chosen to fight until after all the other units have done so, even if they charged.
Yeah, and if one of those units has an ability that allows them to fight first in the phase, they instead fight in the phase as if they did not have that ability.
And then the Eversor Assassin has hypermetabolism, which means he can eat all the ice cream he wants without gaining weight. No, that's not what it means. For 1 command point, until the end of the phase, roll d6 every time he loses a wound. On a 4+, that wound is not lost. So 4+, feel no pain. It's pretty, pretty nasty. So that makes him quite the wound sink, which is pretty good for a single model. So as I mentioned, all of them are supposed to be the same point. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but probably sit pretty close to what they've been doing in the past, which is right around 80 points. So looking at real quick, we'll start with the Vindicare Assassin. Still hitting on 2s, strength 4, toughness 4, 5 wounds, 5 attacks, which I thought was pretty impressive for a sniper guy. And he still has his Exodus pistol, rifle, and blind grenades. In case you're not sure, does not do any damage with a blind grenade. However, the unit that's hit by the grenade is minus 1 to all hit rolls until the end of the turn. He's got the Deadshot ability, which allows him to target characters. And of course, if he makes an unmodified roll of a 6 on the to wound, they suffer an hold on, attack is with a range of by this damage goes up to d6. Right. So a little bit different than your Rangers from Eldari, you know, where the 6 gives them a mortal wound. So you go from d3 wounds to d6. So all of a sudden, a lot of characters are at, 4 and 5 wounds. You can take out a character in one shot.
The Faultless Aim is also pretty good.
What's that?
If this model remains stationary in its previous movement phase, of course, it always hits on the 2+ when firing a ranged weapon, regardless of any modifiers. And of course, you still have to hit us with a 6 during overwatch.
No, so it's basically a Dark Reaper. Awesome. All right, so we said we'd talked about what headshot is. So let's say you're like me, and you see that random number on the damage table. And you're like, sure, I can inflict D6, but or even D3. It doesn't matter. I always roll a 1. No, you get a second chance. After this model has made an attack with the ranged weapon, roll 1d6 if the model suffered damage from the attack but has not been slain. On a 3+, the model suffers a mortal wound. And if the model is still not slain, you can roll one more d6. This time, the model suffers a mortal wound on a 4+. Keep rolling 1d6, increasing the result required to cause a mortal wound by 1 each time until the roll is either failed or the target is slain.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Vindicare has always been my favorite, but now it's even more so.
Yeah, that one is pretty powerful. So let's quick review. I hit, I wound, I rolled a 1. Okay, I got 4 wounds left. All right, I'm going to roll a die. And a 3+, take a mortal wound. Still alive? No problem. Let me roll again. On a 4+, take another mortal wound. Still alive? No problem. I roll another d6 on a 5+, and then a 6+. So you have a potential to seriously do 7 damage. And if you roll a 6, you could potentially do 10 damage. So you're actually going to also one-shot a Demon Prince with this thing.
Yeah. You take out Gilliman, too.
Potentially. Yeah, I didn't even think of him. Yeah, it's another one.
Yeah, because his pistol and rifle, you can't take invulnerable saves, and it's AP minus 3.
You know, I skipped right over that. Thanks for bringing that up. Yep. Invulnerable saves cannot be taken against attacks made by this weapon.
And the weapon always wounds on a 2+ on infantry.
It's not shabby either. It's still strength 5. So if you're going after monstrous creatures, you're still doing a pretty good chance of wounding characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, there's the spy mask rule.
And the spy mask means he looks like James Bond.
Even better, enemy models don't gain the bonus for their saving throws for being in cover against attacks made by the ranged weapons of the model. But wait, there's more. He's also got a stealth suit. Subtract 1 from the hit rolls for attacks made with ranged weapons that target this model. And if this model is on or in a terrain feature, subtract 2 instead.
That's an interesting change. You know, it's usually it's +1 to +2 to cover bonus as the final to hit. I think that's interesting.
So, you got a hill. He's -2 to hit. Your space marines are hitting him on 5s.
And he's popping your characters left and right. All right. Not impressed? Okay, good. We got 3 more assassins to go over. Kalidus Assassin, this was my first foray into assassins. I remember this one because the dreaded Neural Shredder was able to rip apart my army pretty quick when I first started playing 40k. Not quite as nasty as it was in the past, but still pretty gross. It's a 9-inch range, assault 1. Roll 3d6 each time this weapon scores a hit. If the roll is equal to or greater than the highest leadership characteristic in the unit, they suffer D3 mortal wounds. Too shabby. It's got the phase sword. Once again, invulnerable saves cannot be taken against attacks made by this weapon. And is a strength user, which has to be strength 4, by the way. Still has 5 attacks. AP minus 3 and a flat damage of 2. And just when you thought she's done, now she's also got poison blades as well. Gives her +1 attack and wounds non-vehicle attacks, non-vehicle targets, excuse me, on a 3+. So eat your heart out, Dark Eldar. So. And she can fall back and still shoot and charge in the same turn. She's got her polymorphine suit. So she can set up in disguise anywhere on the battlefield. And you thought, okay, before, and if you do what I did, you stopped reading at this point and says, I get it. No more than 9 inches away from an opponent. Set up anywhere on the battlefield that is D d6 plus 3 inches away from an enemy target. For example, if you roll a 4, you can set up anywhere within, as long as you're more than 7 inches away from an enemy model. Wow. So yeah, if you roll a 1, hi, I'm 4 inches away. Did I mention the Neural Shredder only has a 9-inch range? So basically, as long as you don't roll a 6, you start off in range of its weapon. Pretty nice. And we talked about Rain and Confusion briefly. Just want to make sure go over that in detail. If you have any models with this ability in your army, then during the first battle round, roll a d6 each time your opponent spends a command point to use a stratagem. On a 4+, your opponent must spend an extra CP to use that stratagem, or else it has no effect. This ability cannot affect stratagems that are used before the battle begins. So I'm thinking right off the bat, was it improved positions where you get the force aid bonus? That could be pretty nasty, but just the whole, maybe so. Drain some of your CP before the game starts.
Well, then there's the hit and run too. That one's kind of fun. This model can fall back and still shoot and charge in the same turn.
Pretty gross. All right, the ever-popular Calexis Assassin. This was your anti-psyker option not too long ago. He's back. So right off the bat, pretty much the same stat line as we've been talking about. He's got one less attack. Still 5 wounds, leadership 9. Hitting on tunes both in close combat as well as ballistics. His main guns, the Animus Speculum, 18-inch range, Assault D3, Strength 5, AP minus 4, 1 damage. Changes weapons type to Assault D6. Are any enemy psychers within 18 inches of the bearer? Doesn't necessarily mean you have to target the psyker. It's just if they happen to be, within 18 inches. And then he also has the famous psych-out grenades. D3 grenade, 6-inch range. Each time you roll a hit of a 6, for an attack made with this weapon, it inflicts 1 mortal wound on the target instead of the normal damage. If the target attacks a psyker or a demon. So, correct me if I'm wrong, the Grey Knights still have this weapon?
I don't think so.
I've looked that up. Yeah, back in the day, I remember them being a nuisance. All right. So interesting little stats here. So right off the bat, Abomination. This model can never be targeted by the effects of a psychic power in any way. Psychers that are within 18 inches of a Calexis Assassin must subtract 2 from their psychic tests and deny the witch tests. So not quite as potent as Kronos from the Tyranids, but the fact that you can't even target him is interesting as well. I guess I think it'll be FAQ'd, because somebody's going to ask is, if I use guide on one of my units, do they still have the ability to reroll failed hits against the Abomination? My guess is yes. So if you got it off on a -2, but Doom obviously would go away. I couldn't target him for that. Couldn't target him for smite. Can't target him for all the bonus smites. It's pretty nasty.
That it is. Well, and it gets even harder because you've got the Aetherium rule on there, too.
What's that?
And everybody should remember this rule. Attacks that target this model are resolved as if the attacking model had a weapon skill and ballistic skill characteristic of 6+.
So at that point, I got lucky enough to get guide off. Good, good. You're hitting on 6s. Get to reroll those, but big deal. He's still the...
There's the life drain.
What's that?
Saving throws cannot be made for attacks made with melee weapons by this model unless they are invuln saves.
Ouch. We've not seen that before. Yeah. Okay.
So he doesn't have a melee weapon. He's just hitting it with his fists.
Right, which is strength 4.
So 2+. Yeah. Then strength 4. But you... Basically, if you don't have an invuln save, you don't get a save no matter what, even though he's just slapping you.
That's rude. I didn't pick up on that. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. And then last but not least, if your psychers are still not safe, Psychic Assassin. Tex made this model that can target a character that is a Psyker, even if they're not the closest enemy. In addition, this model can make an attack with its Psycho grenades the same phase that it used its Animus Speculum. So, yeah. So you can use grenades and a regular weapon, unlike the usual grenade rolls.
Yep. We talked about the other three. We might as well talk about the Evasaur.
All right. Here we go. The Evasaur. Interesting. He's got 6 wounds and 6 attacks, which is the highest of the four. Everything else relatively the same. It's got the Executioner Pistol, 12-inch range. Pistol 4. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Strength 4, AP minus 1, damage 1, can reroll failed to wound rolls with this weapon against infantry targets. He's got the Neuro Gauntlet, melee weapon, plus 1 strength, minus 1 AP, 1 damage, can reroll wounds with attacks made with this weapon. It's got a Power Sword, because why not? And then lastly, he's got a Melta Bomb, 4-inch range, grenade 1, strength 8, AP minus 4, D6, and may reroll to wound attacks when made against vehicle targets. If that wasn't enough, he's got some nifty abilities. Let's talk about Bio Meltdown. If this model is reduced to 0 wounds, roll D6 for each enemy unit within 6 inches of this model before removing them from the battlefield. On a 4+, the enemy unit suffers D3 mortal wounds. That's right, folks. He automatically explodes. That's just not nice. Sentinel Array. Each time this enemy unit falls back, well, it's just within 1 inch of this model. An enemy falls back. So if you try to fall back against him, he immediately gets a shooting attack against your unit, as if it were the shooting phase. Now, Harlequins have to pay a command point to do that. This guy does it for free.
Next up is Frenzon.
Yeah, the famous drug.
When making a charging roll for this model, roll 3d6 rather than 2d6. In addition, add 2 to this model's attacks characteristic if it charged in the preceding charge phase. So you charge, you're going up to 18 inches, and he's got 8 attacks.
Yeah. Yeah, so he is, and he's hitting on 2s, strength 5, rerolling wounds. So he's basically an Imperial Solitaire.
Yeah, actually. But do Solitaires explode?
They do not. I forgot to mention, every one of these assassins does have a 4-up invul. It's under their lightning reflex ability, so he's fairly durable. As I mentioned, he has 6 wounds on this guy. And, of course, if his target lives or he lives to the next shooting phase, he's still got a pistol 4 with his executioner pistol. Don't snooze on that. So
he's gonna, so you're missing another rule. It's kind of important, I think.
Am I missing? Yes.
Killing
yes,
Rampage.
Go right ahead.
Each time an enemy model is slain as the result of an attack made with a melee weapon by this model can immediately make 1 additional attack against the same unit. These additional attacks cannot themselves generate further attacks. In addition, this model can consolidate up to 6 inches instead of up to 3.
Ah.
Yeah, so you know what I said about 8 attacks?
Mm-hmm.
You're going up against a unit, almost guaranteed he's getting that 9th attack in. So you got a 10-man unit, they're gone, basically.
One thing I like about that 6-inch consolidate is, oh, I see your screen, I chop it up, and even if I don't kill the whole screen, I can move so I can get in range of one of your characters. Because remember, it's one of those, I can consolidate as long as I get to the closest enemy model. So be careful how you remove your models from this guy, because if he's trying to think, well, maybe I can remove stuff near him to get him out of combat so I can shoot him on my shooting phase, then he goes, okay, it's not the closest model anymore. I can go attack something else. That's pretty brutal. So, overall, though, I have to see these on the table. I think they're going to be situational, but what I like about them is they keep the flair, because it seems like every edition, one or two of them was awesome and the other two were junk. And it was always the guessing game, which one do I bring? Now they all are pretty well balanced within each other, and I can mix and match who I'm taking from game to game without breaking my list.
Well, I definitely think we're still going to see the Kalexis fairly often.
Yeah.
Because, just if nothing else, because we've got heavy psychic armies such as Thousand Suns going on. You know, Gene Stealer cults. A lot of the lists I've been seeing people try to test out have included at least two Maguses. Tyranids have psychers, so I would not be surprised to see assassins.
I would agree.
And at 85 points a guy, I don't see any reason why it'd be a hassle for anybody to bring all four and get that CP, you know, CP.
So look forward to that. I suppose it'll be in the next White Dwarf. I believe it's the March issue. So we'll see that in print.
Yep.
So pretty exciting stuff. Look forward to that. So after the break, Ray and I will break down the first GT of the 2019 season. See you guys right after that.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
And we are back, as promised. Our tournament coverage picks up for 2019. And we start north of the border in lovely Brandon, Manitoba, home of hockey legend Ray Ferraro. Okay, he's not a hockey legend. He's just the first hockey player I could think of. Anyway, they had their first GT of the 2019 season, and your top eight looks something like this. In eighth place, you have Kyle Plouffe. I believe that's how you pronounce your name, Kyle. I apologize. Playing with Drukhari. Great job there. Seventh place, Lawrence Hill with a Suriani. Sixth place, Ben Sinclair with Imperial Knights. Fifth place, Marcus Trowbridge of Tau Empire. Fourth place, Brandon Christie with Astra Militarum. Third place, Jeremy Kufner with Imperial Knights. Second place, John Kilcullen with Astra Militarum. And the winner of the 2019 Wheat City Open is none other than Ryan Mandrick with Thousand Suns. So before we get into the winning list, this quick announcement. Some of you fans have asked to bring this back, and we have the winner of the Wood Spoon for this particular event. This is the guy who came in last but played in every game, is Corey Welsh with Freebooted Orcs. So congratulations, Corey. Meanwhile, let's take a look at Ryan's winning list. As Ray, you mentioned earlier, perhaps a Kalexis Assassin would have been handy. Being that it was lots of Psyker madness. Starting with a battalion of Chaos Demons, he starts as a mixed group. Demon Prince of Chaos with Khorne and a Demonic Axe, so we know he's going to probably upgrade that axe to the Relic, so he can go chop down some knights. He's also got a Poxbringer with Miasma Pestilence. He's got a Bloodletter Bomb of 26 Bloodletters, a demonic icon, and then two units of three Nurgling Swarms, plus a unit of, you guessed it, 30 Plague Bearers with icon. Then he adds a Thousand Suns Battalion featuring Ahriman. By the way, Ahriman was the most played named character at LVO this past week.
No kidding.
So Ahriman and two Demon Princes of Zeech. And then in the troop choices, he's got two small blobs of cultists and then a blob of 30 Zangors. Followed by, Ray, your favorite, 10 occult terminators.
Looks like a unit of 10.
Armed to the teeth with combi bolters and power swords and two Hellfire missile racks. So like we said, straightforward, lots of psychic powers, lots of large units that they're going to double check here. It's probably not on this list, but I'm assuming the dark. Yep, there it is. Dark Battle Crystals on one of those Zeech Demon Princes. So they're going to be able to push them down your throat as fast as possible. Probably going to deep strike the blood letters with the demonic icon so they get the 3d6 charge when they drop. It's all pretty nice stuff.
I like it.
So that is your list. Yeah, I like it too. Pretty standard stuff. No points for originality, but except for the Occult Terminator, so I'm curious to see how that worked out for him. But he went a perfect 5-0, amassing 152 battle points through the five rounds. John Kilcullen with Astro Militarum. This list was kind of your cut and dry guard with Knigget. It's got Yark and a company commander. He's got two large blobs of conscripts, one of 30, one of 26, followed by an infantry squad, a minister and a priest, and a vulture gunship. And then he brought in a second battalion featuring Colonel Strachan, a Primaris Psyker, and three infantry squads, an astropath, and then a large unit of Bulgrin to really hold down objectives. And then last but not least, he's got himself a Knight Castellan. But interesting, I don't remember. Oh, yes, I do. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's got the volcano gun. I just didn't recognize the way it's written here. So kind of yours, again, House Raven on the knight for obvious reasons there. And then third list would be Jeremy Kuffner with Imperial Knights. And this says a little bit of change here. So he starts with a Castellan and two Gallants. Then he has, this is very similar to the list I played on Sunday morning at LVO. In his Imperial Guard section, he's got three tank commanders, all of them featuring Punisher Gatling cannons on their Lehman Russes, and then three units of 10 infantry squads to hold down the objectives. So that having that much, 20 attacks, and if they don't move, I think it's got to be under half their movement. So basically, if they move like 5 inches, they get to double their attacks, and then they give themselves a tank commander order of rerolling ones. So that's 40 shots, hitting on fours, rerolling ones, and strength 5, I believe. So it's pretty nasty. Actually, I want to catch myself. Did they hit on fours or threes? Can't remember off the top of my head now. And just for added fun, Corey Welsh, let's take a look at your freebooters list. Again, you're the winner of the Wooden Spoon for this particular event. Big Mech on bike. He took that out of the index. Weird Boy. Three units of 10 Gretchen. And then he takes a freebooter battalion featuring a Big Mech with a custom four field, War Boss, and Mega Armor. So 27 Shootas, 9 Choppas, another 10 Gretchen, 6 Killicans, 6 Mech Guns. And then brings in a freebooter Vanguard detachment featuring a Weird Boy, a Mech Chopper, a Knob with a Wog Bonner with a custom shooter and Bad Skull Banner Relic, 9 Tank Busters, and a Gorkonaut. I'm not really sure what to make of that list. I can't imagine it went that badly. So
I don't know. It's been too long since I've even seen orcs across the table from me. I mean, last time I played against orcs, it was Don playing the Green Tide.
Yeah, and it's definitely, variant from what people were talking about. But it's interesting how everybody was predicting that orcs would be super competitive and big numbers at LVO, and just not a single orc player made the top 8. So it was very interesting to see that. So that is your Wheat City Open GT results for this particular year. So after the break, we will get into your current ITC rankings as well as ITC events for next week. Be right back. Welcome back after the break. The ITC season stats have not been updated yet for the 2019 season, which is okay. We've only had 1 week of action, so we'll wait till some of the data really accumulates. And it's something to talk about. So we'll use this time to shamelessly plug two events coming up March 2nd and 3rd. Of course, it's the Scorched Earth Open. That'd be the major event that Ray and I are hosting here in Arizona. Tickets are on sale through the BCP app, as well as look for our Facebook page under Scorched Earth Open. Also, some buddies of ours, we've talked about them before, What's New with Mike and Jeff. They're running an event this weekend here in Phoenix as well. It's called the Old Timers RTT and kind of a throwback. It's a 50 power level event and needs to be Battle Faction, no Forge World, and no Titanic keyword models allowed. So it should be good fun and a little bit of a break from the usual competitive scene. But those who are looking for more traditional events, Ray, what do we have coming on next
weekend? Next weekend, as of now, we've got two GT level tournaments. The first is the Nashville Bar Brawl. That is at 809 Ewing Avenue in Nashville, Tennessee. And then we have Arctic Con 2019 Warhammer 40K tournament at St. Sava, Maryville, Indiana.
Sounds great. Some neat events. We'll, of course, have full coverage for you guys next week. Until then, we'll look for additional updates on our Facebook page as they come breaking. Good fun so far from the demon up version of the rumor engine. So lots of nifty looking chaos warrior coming out that have no idea what they could possibly do. So in the intro, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.